Attending a wedding for the first time, a little girl whispered to her mother, "Why is the bride dressed in white?" "Well, white is the color of purity and being clean, and besides that, it's the color of happiness, and today is the happiest day of her life." Her mother tried to explain it, keeping it simple. The child thought for a moment, though, then, and said, "Then why is the groom wearing black?" You know, if you were to read Leviticus 18, where God describes for Israel unlawful sexual relations, one thing that would strike you is it always speaks from the male perspective what a man shouldn't do. I don't think God's intent in doing that is to say that men are the only ones who struggle with sin in this area, but there probably is a greater tendency for it, which explains why the guy isn't the one to wear white on his wedding day. Not that there shouldn't be an appropriateness to that, but before we get that, we do need to go to Leviticus chapter 16. And so if you could turn to verses 29 through 34 there, as we kind of just finish up our study of the Day of Atonement, and really reflecting on the portion of Scripture that we kind of touched on at the end of last week's message, but I think it's an essential aspect of what's involved in the Day of Atonement. And actually, the Day of Atonement is a special time of year, this special day, the one day of the year that the high priest can go into the Holy of Holies, be in the presence of God. But we saw that he couldn't do that without bringing incense. He couldn't do that without bringing blood. And I found that the incense was the most curious thing because I really hadn't heard about that before. But that incense being burned so that a barrier was created, that even though he's in the presence of God, there's still some separation between him and God. But then the blood that was put on the Ark of the Covenant, so ultimately atonement could be made, mercy could be given, that we wouldn't be judged by the law that was in the Ark of the Covenant, but by the grace that is afforded by the blood that was there. See, it shows us that sin needs to be paid for before it could be forgiven. And I think it ultimately also reveals the tragic and destructive nature of sin. But what Leviticus 16, 29 through 34 shows us is that the high priest wasn't the only one doing something special on that day. Ultimately, what God would want the people of Israel to understand is that really everyone is involved with what the high priest is doing. That even though the high priest is the only one who can enter the Holy of Holies, he's representing everyone. That God is doing something for all of Israel in this day. And he's doing a special thing beyond just what the offerings were on a weekly or daily or monthly basis. That again, this day was a special day. And I do find that even today, as the Jews, I believe, have in many ways walked away from where God would have them to be, and not really honoring the law or what he's revealed, or certainly not honoring Messiah in terms of Jesus, still, when it comes to that Yom Kippur, when it comes to that Day of Atonement, they are doing their best in terms of what